Welcome to Three in the Key.
Here's Patterson. Got a handoff for DeRozan's going to fire the three, and he makes it!
Bringing you in-depth basketball analysis and interviews from the Great White North.
Down to Favors denied by Embiid. There is Embiid going to the left hand, Joel Embiid. High degree of difficulty.
With your hosts, Elias Elzain, Will Macklin, and Dave the Professor Tripp.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Three in the Key. Elias Elzain alongside Will Macklin.
What up, what up?
And Dave Tripp.
Yes, sir.
How you guys doing?
Oh, wonderful. What a week.
Happy week, man. Been good for basketball-wise,
hey,
anyway.
Always.
College basketball's back.
That's right.
It's fun. What did you say, Tuesday coming up?
Tuesday is going to be off the chain. It's going to be so good. So many good games. Obviously, Kentucky, Michigan State, and Duke in Kansas. CBS Sports Classic. Man, set your PVR.
Yeah, well, must watch, definitely, college basketball early on in the season.
There are other games, too. My Oregon Ducks play Baylor. Like, it's going to be a jam-packed night.
Yeah,
you got to check out Tuesday night NCAA. Set your PVR for the NBA and tune into the college boys.
Yeah, great night. I'm college, like, Christmas break, right? Like that during New Year's and
this
stuff.
This is a special year, though. I'm telling you right now, this year's draft class is going to be packed. It's going to be so good. This is going to be the year to keep an eye on the college ranks.
Really? Okay. Well, hey, man.
The college expert here on the show, Dave Tripp.
Exactly.
He knows about the college game. Remember, guys, you can get a hold of us by email at the3inthekey@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook at 3inthekey. Follow on Twitter at BasketPod. On Instagram at the3inthekey. And you can listen to each and every episode on iTunes, SoundCloud, TuneIn, Stitcher Radio, and, of course, on the Almighty Baller Podcast Network. Make sure to rate and review us on iTunes as well. And you can check out our own website, 3inthekey.ca. Today's program, we talk with Tim Cato of SB Nation's Mavs. Moneyball, the whole thing with Mark Cuban and ESPN, got settled now. And then the Mavs are off to a slow start. Dirk is hurt. They're only 2-6. They started the season, what, 0-5?
Yeah.
Or 0-5, right?
But Barnes actually was playing well. And like
Barnes is playing well. He's averaging, what, 22 points?
Yeah.
So we'll get into that. Maybe he is the next face of the franchise. I don't want to say that. But
he's got better numbers than Clay right now. So that's
And he signed
incredible.
A big contract. Yeah. But he's taking a lot of shots, obviously. The offense is going in through him, right?
What's happening in Golden State. The people are daring him to shoot like they did when he was in Golden State, and he's actually just hitting
Now he's making side. Shots, yeah.
A couple of negative takeaways, I guess we're going to call them, and how we want to get this show going. Not so much a negative for me, but the Celtics and Pacers off to slow start slower than I expected.
For
right.
sure.
In the East, anyway. We thought we had both those teams top five. Well, I did anyway, top five.
Same.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, the Miles Turner's shown bright spots here and there, but he hasn't been the guy where I thought he was ready to take that next step as a Paul George helper. And he's been very inconsistent. Well, one day he'll get 14 points, 9 rebounds, 2 assists, and then next day he'll get 2 points and 7 rebounds, you know. And it's just like he's in the game. He's pulled early too for these Pacers, and Paul George is helpless, and these guys are losing quick.
I don't know. I just felt when they built the team and they brought in Nate McMillan, it wasn't a great fit. Nate McMillan's a defensive specialist, and you brought in all these players that run fast breaks and play an offensive style, and it just hasn't gelled together yet. And I think Paul George is kind of not being used the way he should be used, which is the horse. They got to get behind him and let him control the game. And I don't know. It's just kind of been a swing and a miss so far for the Pacers.
And that was the thing with the Pacers under Frank Vogel when Bird didn't renew his contract. They said they wanted to play at a faster pace, and they went out and got a guy like Nate McMillan who's not known to, you know, for his system of a high-paced offense.
Right.
So and although they've scored a bunch of points in a couple of games, but
their defense is awful.
Yeah, and they're 4-6. They've allowed a lot of points as well. They lost to the Nets, the Bulls, the Bucks, Hornets, Sixers in OT, and the Celtics yesterday. They had the back-to-back games against the Sixers, and both of them going to overtime, winning the one at home and then dropping the second one on the road. And the Celtics, they're 5-4. They lost to the Bulls, Cavs, Nuggets, and Wizards. Pacers are still winless on the road. Celtics are 2-3 after the win in Indiana. Still early in the season, but these are two teams, you know, I had up there and we had up there in the standings, at least in the top five in the East. And they've come out sluggish to start the season. You know, the I guess it's still early, but we expected more. And Isaiah Thomas is one guy who has called out his team for not playing as hungry as they have in the past couple of years. Will mentioned, the Pacers still figuring out and with their new acquisitions, and the Miles Turner's development hasn't been there right off the bat.
I think the Celtics, you can give them a bit of a break. They've had some injury troubles. I think that when they get their full roster and you're able to actually start to see some of the versatility, getting a Kelly Olynyk who can stretch the floor, Crowder's been injured.
Yeah, Crowder's been injured.
Avery Bradley's missed some time. So, like, I mean, these are cogs.
Smart's been playing, like, off and on.
Yeah, exactly. He's missed some time as well. He's actually been good since he came back. I think that Brad Stevens needs to get all these guys practicing, playing together, and then he's really going to have some versatility. And Horford, again, has missed some time as well. So,
well, even then, like, Horford, I think it's also been a struggle. We talked about this with Durant going to the Warriors and them getting there. I mean, now they're starting to get their groove going. Like, you've seen Curry playing well. But adding a new player like that, adding an all-star like Al Horford, it's hard to adjust right away. And that's what happened with Brad Stevens. He's not used to having a player like that to give the ball to all the time. So that's why they're kind of struggling in that spot as well.
And he's missing time, obviously. Now he's still in the concussion protocol.
Yeah.
So Al Horford hasn't been there, and it's still the beginning of the season, but this is where you would want him in the lineup to test things out and see how the team flows.
Well, it's one of those things. We don't want to get too over excited about it. I mean, it's still early, but that type of thing where, hey, man, these things are happening, and is this going to affect him the rest of the season? I mean, if there was a time to do it, to look shaky, it'd be right now, you know? So they get it over in October and November. But, you know, when it comes down to crunch time and leading up to the All-Star game, I think it's time to start playing basketball.
And the East is only separated by 6.5 games from 1 through 15. I know it's the beginning of the season, of course. We mentioned that and everything's still close. But the Pacers are 4-6. An eighth spot right now is a 500 team in the Detroit Pistons at 5-5. So basically a game and a half out of that spot. And it's still early and things, the teams are still figuring it out. But I feel like coaches would be, especially in this case in Indiana, where they want to win, where they went out and acquired a guy like Jeff Teague, Thaddeus Young. They went out inside.
Big changes.
Al Jefferson. And in today's age, you see that even your all-star, your best player can leave and go join a super team. So this is, if you want to win with your guy who you're your franchise player, you want to surround him with that talent, you're giving him that big contract, you gotta win, and you gotta build that winning culture going into the playoffs year in and year out to try to keep him and try to convince him that he can win a championship in that city. In the Western Conference, for me, it has to be the T-Wolves. We were kind of big on them. I think Dave didn't have them going into the postseason.
No, but certainly a team to watch this year. Exciting team. And I don't know, they just haven't had it
yet. Yeah, 2-6 so far to start the season. I know they're young and they're still trying to figure it out. And we all had, you know, high expectations and aspirations for them.
Yeah.
Losses to the Grizzlies on opening night, a game that they should have had, and they let Memphis get back in it and steal that one. Kings, Nuggets, Thunder, Nets, and the Clippers beating them last night. And the Clippers, speaking about the Clippers real quick, best team in basketball right now, a 9-1, best start to their franchise history. But I think the rest of the Western Conference has been up to par with what we expected.
Yeah. Well, the thing is with the T-Wolves, I think I for one thought Tibbs would get this team faster developed for some reason. I don't know. It's not even just they're losing. Like, at least with the Sixers, like, they're losing, but they've been more fun to watch, you know, and more entertaining to watch. Even with watching the Lakers, they've been fun to watch. Is that style
biggest
of play.
And best surprise in the NBA? The Los Angeles
for some,
Lakers.
Well, that's the thing. It's like
they look great.
Difference
for sure.
Is Lakers are fun to watch.
73 bench points yesterday.
We were just talking about it. All of a sudden, Julius Randle looks like a point forward. Like, what's going on? The guy's getting 5 assists a game.
And that game against Sacramento, like, I like that. Like, Boogie versus Randle, little rivalry, and maybe there could be some more Kings and Lakers. They're both on the come up, both young teams. So, well, I mean, I don't know how much Sacramento is coming up, but I mean, like, for just watching those two teams interact again and then play at their level and having good games, I love that. I love, because watching the Kings and Lakers early 2000s. I mean,
those were the days. Great basketball.
Amazing.
You know what, though? I will say this about the Timberwolves. They're a young team, and they do have time to come, and they got a brand new coach who's going to change the entire philosophy of the franchise. Their young guys are actually playing well. For the first time in his career, Wiggins is actually shooting very well.
Right.
He's putting up good numbers. He's sharing the ball a lot more. But I think that losing Ricky Rubio and having to put Chris Dunn in right away, that's been what's really hurt them.
And Rubio just got back against the Clippers. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it'll be a little adjustment period, you know, throwing Chris Dunn right away into the fire, rookie point guard. So we'll see how it goes. 2-6, we'll see if they can pick it up and try to crawl in the Western Conference picture. A couple other notes. Any other negative takeaways to start the season?
I want to say the Knicks have been bad. I took two throwaways shots.
Your Bulls are looking good, though.
Yeah, I took the Bulls. The Bulls are not looking terrible. They're looking like a good shooting team. Butler 37 last night. But all I'm looking at is the Knicks and how bad they have been.
Like, yeah, they've been bad.
Noah's been terrible.
Yeah.
Rose hasn't been up to par. They're not giving the ball to Kristaps. Like, he's your offense, man. Like, centered around him, and they're not doing it. They're like, I don't understand why they don't give him the ball. Watching that game last night against the Toronto Huskies, like, it was not that Knicks team that I was thinking, like, a Jay Super team, you know? Like, these guys can move the ball, give it to Zingas, and let him go.
Do they blow it up? If, like, I know it's still early, obviously, but if it keeps going like this.
We know it's early.
Okay. Obviously, Will.
You know what?
Pick on me.
You know what? I don't know what you do with the Knicks. I think that it was just a horrible idea to bring all these guys in the offseason. I've been saying it all summer long. Like, I just think it's a bad idea. You're bringing in used goods. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, let's go stop.
Yeah.
Let's,
minus Courtney Lee. I like Courtney Lee. I think he's a solid defender, 3-point shooter.
I want to spruce up my house. Let's pull over to the next garage sale and pick up a bunch of garbage and assume that that's going to make us a playoff team. I don't think so.
Well, you know, someone else's garbage, or what's the saying? Someone's garbage is someone else's treasure.
Yeah. Well,
maybe they thought like that. Okay.
Well, I mean, hey, right. I mean, Rose and Noah went back to Chicago and won a game. Like, if that's all they wanted
to
do.
Yeah, that was a big game.
Yeah.
Just do it in MSG now. Against every other team.
Yeah,
in the
you know what I mean? They had that more implications for them. But
you got to play through Carmelo and Zinger. I mean, they're the absolute future and the present. And, yeah.
Like, I don't know what they're doing.
When Kylo Quinn is, like, making raves just because there's no one else, I mean, that's not a good season.
Brandon Jennings has been not bad, though. Off the bench, he's found
he'll be their starter before long.
Yeah, I think
you
so too.
Did say that. David said that, and he still thinks. I don't know. I don't think they shy away from Rose unless he gets injured. I don't see him. I don't see Jeff Hornacek making a change in bringing Jennings into the starting lineup and Rose off the bench. I don't see that happening.
He
personally
definitely had something to prove against the Bulls, though. Will, you brought it up. Rose looks sensational in parts of that game for sure.
But yeah, that's
he
it,
still
though.
Has that step. Even against the Huskies yesterday, we saw that he has that explosive. Not as explosive as it used to be, but he can still get by defenders and get to the rim and lay it up.
Yeah, no, I agree. No, the other team has been disappointing. We all thought they'd be disappointing. I think it's mainly because of Beal, but the Wizards are not fun.
Yeah,
at all.
I picked them to slide into the eighth spot.
No, I didn't have them, and I didn't think they would be good, and they're showing it.
Yep.
And Marcin Gortat calling out the bench, saying we have one of the worst benches in the NBA.
If you're a bench player,
how would you take that?
They tried to get a bench, didn't they?
Yeah.
They signed guys to fill out that bench.
Yeah, Ian Mahimi's still hurt.
Yeah, that's a big
loss. So that's tough. But like,
they do have a terrible bench, though. Let's
not
be
deep
real.
And like Gortat can't play.
Run
the whole
Trey
game.
Burke in the offseason. You know, he couldn't be Utah's fourth point guard last year. I mean, what are you gonna do? I mean, the guy had every opportunity. Every point guard in the league was injured.
Yeah,
and he couldn't cut it as a starter.
Andrew Nicholson, Markieff Morris is a starter, and he's played well for them. Otto Porter has been okay. Jason Smith, Marcus Thornton, they don't really have a bench.
Not deep at all. So like that's
I
where
can
they get
see
lost
why I can see why Marcin Gortat came out and said that about the squad.
Yeah. It's harsh, but
and
know,
at
it's
two
true.
And seven, at 2-7 is the right thing to say.
The real killer with the Wizards though is no back to backs for John Wall right now. Guess what? You're losing every second game. Like when it's a back to back, when you don't have John Wall on that team. You guys are a D-League team, almost.
Yeah.
You know, like, Bradley Beal hasn't been playing well. Gortat, you can talk all you want, but I mean, You're not all that special either, bro. So, hot takes today, fellas.
Yeah,
hot takes.
No,
hot takes, negative takes. Hey, listen, who else has been, who else do we want to rain our parade on?
Rain our parade on?
We haven't talked about the Pellies yet. What's going on there?
Well, that's no help for Anthony Davis as well. Yeah. He's the star in the sky.
And how disappointing has Buddy been? Buddy Hield, I thought he'd be so good. I thought the floor would open up. Frazier, who's a D-League guy, has been okay. But generally, this team is just, like, they played the Lakers last night, and it's just been.
It's moments like this.
What are you talking about the Lakers for? The Lakers played well.
You're saying
how they played the Lakers like they were supposed to win that one.
Okay, well, I mean, like, I just don't know how for real.
I'm just bugging you. The Lakers are 6-4 right now. I'm happy.
I know, you're loving life right now. But, like, I think Buddy Hield is, he's becoming like a cautionary tale. You don't want to draft seniors anymore. Why wouldn't you take a freshman in the draft? Now, again, I'm a Kentucky guy, so.
No, but the right move would have been, the right move would have been to take Jamal Murray.
Of course. And so, it's just like Frank Kaminsky last year. They figured, hey, we're going to get a guy that's ready to go. And what happened to Frank Kaminsky? The guy didn't play well until the playoffs. Yeah. It took him the whole season to get in. So I don't really see the benefit of drafting a senior. Obviously, Buddy Hield wouldn't have been draftable as a freshman, so it took him his whole career to get there. But I'd be cautious about drafting seniors in the lottery going forward.
Yeah, wow. I agree. No, that's a good point because we've seen this now happen a lot. With seniors, so I have to agree. I thought I was really high on Buddy Hield.
Same here.
I still am. I love the kid.
Yeah, I think he can still shoot it. He's going to take a little bit to develop. He had 18 yesterday, I think matched his season high.
Yeah.
He's struggling with his shot a bit. I think it's just the NBA defenses and getting adjusted
worst
and watching.
Worst three-point shooting team in the league.
And getting adjusted to the defense into the game and how fast it is. I had a man finishing second in Rookie of the Year. It doesn't look like that right now.
Again, we're really early.
He was a sexy pick too.
He's still going to get the opportunities because
of course
they got nothing else.
That's why I haven't dropped him in my fantasy yet.
Really, I drafted him. Did I draft him? I don't know if I did or not. I had him.
Yeah, you did draft him.
I did have draft. I drafted him because I
in
liked
my
him.
Other fantasy league. Oh, okay. I still
but like
have
I
him.
Liked him a lot. Like I thought I was super into him. Like not like that, but like you know what I mean. and we'll talk Mavs as well.
You don't like him?
Well, I'm like. A crush. It's a crush.
A couple of other quick notes to pass on. Another week and another milestone for LeBron James. Becomes the youngest player in NBA history to reach 27,000 career points. He reached the mark at 31 years old in 317 days, beating Kobe, who did it at 32 years in 160 days. What can you say about LeBron, man? He's great.
He's not bad, eh?
Great.
Pretty talented cat, yeah.
The Sixers have won a pre-December game for the first time in four seasons. They picked up their good job,
it's true,
Philly.
It's true.
My eye.
They picked up their first win over the Pacers in OT. 1-7 is their record. Remember, they matched an NBA record for the worst start in NBA history with 0-18 last season. Embiid, who exceeded his minutes restriction against the Pacers in that game, playing 26. They usually cap him at 24.
Yeah.
He had a chance to win it at the end of regulation, but missed. And at the end of the game, when he was walking to the bench, he told Brett Brown, "I want to play. I'm playing. That's what you want to see in a guy, man.
Yeah, for sure. Yes.
Like a young player, he wanted to finish the game and stay in. They didn't start him in the overtime, but he played the last 2 minutes, and he made a couple of... He made a bucket and I think a couple of free throws. And so you can keep this guy out on the court at down the stretch of games because he hits free throws and he can play, man. Embiid is a baller. He finished with 25-7, 2 assists and a block. And he's leading their team in points and in rebounds. And if you put his averages in a 36-minute average, like per 36, it's 30.6 points, 11.1 rebounds, and 3.8 blocks.
His player efficiency is almost 24 right now,
yeah,
which
that's
is trust elite in the NBA.
Trust the process, folks.
Yeah.
Trust the process.
And he looks sensational. I felt so bad for Sixers fans for so long, but now they've got something to watch. And when Ben Simmons comes back, this is going to be an exciting team.
Yeah, I want to see him play with Ben Simmons. I want to see how it's going to be.
Now,
him running down the floor and Ben Simmons bringing it up.
Move a big and bring in some more talent into that team, and they could be a team to watch next year.
For sure.
Definitely. Why not this year? I think in playoffs.
Just kidding.
I'm just trusting the process too early. I think.
Yeah. One last thing to pass on: DeRozan continuing that hot start. We all said last week that he would be the one to slow down in scoring in the NBA. And now I don't care, man. I'm not saying anything against DeRozan. I don't think he can do any wrong.
I don't want him to slow down. This has been fantastic. Leading the Huskies last night.
He seems unguardable, though. He seems unguardable right now.
He does.
Eight of the first nine games, over 30 points. First player to do that since, you guessed it, the GOAT.
Jordan.
Michael Jordan. His average of 34 points right now. 34 points is the most through the first nine games of the season since, you guessed it, again, Jordan.
Michael Jordan.
There's a couple people ahead of him. You got Kareem, Jordan, I think Rick Barry are the highest.
The 300 points in the first nine games of a season. He's the first one to do it since the MJ.
Since
only
the
Jordan.
Short era of the
yeah,
NBA,
Jordan,
yeah.
Kareem, Rick Barry, Tiny Archibald. And Dave's boy, World Be Free.
Oh, you know it.
That's right.
And my personal motto.
Yeah, it's crazy how that works.
They're the only ones that have accomplished that. 300 plus points in the first nine games of the season. It's been amazing to watch for DeRozan and for the city of Toronto.
Yeah.
And for Canada and Canada basketball.
But
man,
people
it's been
are still not talking about him MVP-wise. Like, I'm hearing Harden. I'm hearing Westbrook. I'm hearing Lillard.
I'm hearing LeBron.
I'm hearing LeBron Braun. I'm hearing.
You're never gonna hear DeRozan
Chris Paul.
Come on now. He plays north of the border.
But like, why not create a superstar like DeRozan? It's amazing that he would get this max deal and come out like this and still have that chip on his shoulder.
I'm blown away, guys. Like,
yeah, he's amazing. I'm gonna stop talking junk about him.
I'm blown away at the start from DeMar DeRozan. Like, the guy is just—he's a superstar right now. He's without question a superstar. He's the best two in the league. I don't know.
No, the Harden is the best two.
But
in the
Harden's
league.
Been playing the one all season. So,
oh, that's true. I guess if you want to look at it like that
right now.
To me, you look at the separation.
Leading the league, 13.
Amazing. You look at what Clay's doing. Like, CJ McCollum's had a reasonably good start, but nobody comes close. 35 points a game.
Yeah, DeRozan.
He's putting up video game stats.
And yeah, even if he slows down and, you know, doesn't average 30 for the whole year, I want to see him do something in the playoffs, and that's when we're going to really be judging him, I guess. But he came out with that chip on his shoulder, even though he got that big contract, and I'm loving the way he's playing. Raptors are at 7-2, man.
Let's talk about that. Let's talk about DeRozan playoffs, because like, he is not good at that. He's not good at that part of that. It's, for some reason, it's super easy to shut him down in the playoffs. We saw it all. I mean, they still won.
The games get more physical. They slow down a bit, but I think, hopefully, this is the year that he comes out.
I've always
He does well. We'll see how it goes.
Kyle's
we'll see how
well.
The season
Kyle's
goes.
Been okay too. Like, he hasn't
been okay. He hasn't been his, you know, his
but, like,
self.
Kind of letting DeMar do his thing.
You know what though? Like, I feel like DeMar in the playoffs, I feel like he doesn't get the calls he gets in the regular season. I feel like it's less.
Also true.
I feel like it's less. He doesn't change his style of game. He just isn't getting the fouls. He gets to the line 15 shots a game in the regular season. In the playoffs, he was getting two. There were games he didn't have a single foul shot. Like, that's outrageous. His style is drive and make contact. And if they aren't making the calls, he's not able to play his game. So,
well, it's
like
Westbrook, right? The same thing.
Absolutely.
Who has the better support system, Westbrook or
DeMar?
DeMar, for sure. 100%. The Raptors have a better team.
So does that make his stat line impressive, still impressive as Westbrook then?
I would say more so. I would say it's more impressive because I would say, like, leadership by Kyle Lowry to let DeMar go on this run and to facilitate him and to get his back. Like, I think it's really good, a really good sign for this team, because if DeMar ever slows down, you know he's going to do the same thing with Lowry.
Yeah,
exactly. And that's why Kevin Durant pointed that out a couple of weeks ago. He was jealous of their brotherhood and what they had, because I guess that's a shot about, like, he didn't really have that with Russell on the court, because Kyle knows how to play off. Kyle knows how to play off DeRozan, and DeRozan knows how to play off Kyle. When one of them's having a big game, they know that, okay, you're leading us. And they really want wins. They just care about wins and getting, you know, back to that East Final, or maybe one day to the NBA Finals, and see if they can bring a title north of the border.
Well, if this is a new DeMar and he's a superstar and this sticks for the whole season, they could be in the conversation for the NBA championship this year.
Also, I say just change the Raptors to the Huskies. I'm into it. Just be blue and white.
Those are beautiful jerseys.
I feel like those are really nice jerseys,
there's
actually.
There's too much red and black in the NBA. Like, I have the Heat, the Raptors, the Bulls, the Pelicans have lame red ones.
Go back to the Dinosaur. That was
Hawks
always my
have
favorite.
A bit of red.
Yeah, Hawks and lime green for some
it's
reason.
It's true, yeah.
But yeah, there's too much red. The Portland has a red jersey. Be blue and white. There's no straight up blue and white team like that. Let's be that. Go Huskies.
Yeah, I but also it. The red it. Is for Canada, you know.
It's true.
Yeah, but like the whole true. Toronto thing. I like the maybe they should Toronto just should do what Pittsburgh does, right? The black and yellow, you know what it is. You can go blue and white over in Toronto.
We'll see. We'll send you a request to the Raptors.
Hopefully it goes through.
Remember, you can get a hold of us, guys, by email at the3nikki@gmail.com, on Facebook at 3nikki, follow on Twitter at BasketPod, on Instagram at the3nikki, and you can listen to each and every episode on iTunes, SoundCloud, TuneIn, Stitcher Radio, and, of course, on the almighty Baller Podcast Network. And make sure to rate and review us on iTunes as well. Our website, the3inthekey.ca. You can let us know what you think, negative takeaways or who's impressed you, what has stood out to you so far. Are you sold on DeRozan so far after 9 games? Are you sold on the Clippers at 9-1? Nets are surprising some. Wizards at the bottom. Philly's on the rise. Let us know what you guys think next.
How about those Bucks?
Those Bucks, too. Shouts out to the Bucks and Dave. They're 5-4, man. Adetokounmpo's probably going
to
be an all-star
this
season. They're playing well. And Greg Monroe, I don't know, for so much junk they talk to about him, he's been okay.
Yeah, man. He puts up points.
Next, Tim Cato of SB Nation's Mavs Moneyball. We'll talk the Dallas Mavericks with him.
Welcome back to 3 in the Key.
Welcome back inside the Key. 3 in the Key, Elias Alzain alongside Will Macklin and Dave Tripp. And we are now joined by Tim Cato of SB Nation's Mavs Moneyball. Thanks for joining us, Tim.
Hey, how are you guys doing today?
Good, good. Thank you. Tim, we got to start off right off the bat with Mark Cuban and his battle with ESPN this week. He took away the credentials for home games for two ESPN reporters, but now they have come to an agreement, the Mavs and ESPN. Can you just take us through what was the problem, what happened, and what is the solution?
So essentially, in Cuban's words, he was upset that ESPN wasn't covering every single game. Tim McMahon, who was formerly the beat writer back when local sites like ESPN Dallas existed, you know, he would do just about every game. And since last season, he was only doing about, you know, three quarters of the games. And, you know, Mark Cuban saw that as a bad thing. And in his words, this was a way to kind of make a statement, you know. Now, you know, per people I've talked to, I've heard there's probably a little bit more going on there, but, you know, I'm sure Cuban does buy into that stuff, but you know, for him, there's always other things going on as well, and you know, you have to wonder if the team was 5-1 instead of 1-5, he had made a big deal about it, but yeah, apparently he talked it out with ESPN, and Adam Silver was involved in making sure this got fixed, and you know, what ESPN agreed to do was linked to Mavs.com stories on games they didn't cover in person, is my understanding. So that was enough to satisfy Mark, and you know, enough that ESPN was willing to do it, and unfortunately now all is right in the media world around Dallas.
Okay, wow. I guess he just got mad that not enough coverage. Like you said, maybe if their record was different, he wouldn't have been so upset. I gotta ask you. The Mavs went out and signed Harrison Barnes to a maximum contract this summer, and he's been playing well to start the season off. Is that what people expected from him now that he's seeing the ball more and taking more shots and being involved in the offense more, and not what happened in Golden State, obviously being like the fourth option up there in Oakland?
I mean, yeah, everybody expected he'd play better, but I mean, I personally am shocked, and I know a lot of us are, that he's playing as well as he is. He's the leading isolation scorer in the NBA right now by, you know, by efficiency, just the way he's hitting. You know, he's getting to the rim very easily. You know, it definitely helps that Dirk has been out and he's been able to play the four. But yeah, Barnes has been, you know, pretty much everything you can expect and then some. You know, I'm fairly certain I can say the Mavericks didn't even expect him to be this good this soon. So yeah, he's been a remarkable surprise, and you know, finally a reason to kind of look forward to the future and be like, hey, you know, things might work out. There's good signs there coming our way. So yeah, he's been excellent, and you know, you have to really like what you've seen.
Yeah, Dirk has actually been speaking recently about Harrison Barnes while he's been sitting on the shelf, and he's been really impressed with what he's seen, and he's been attributing some of it to the extra minutes and touches he's going to be getting with Dirk out of the lineup. When Dirk comes back in, do you think that's going to throw off the momentum that they have right now? Obviously, they're still losing games. It's an uphill battle for the Mavs this year. They've had some slow starts to some of their better players. Wes Matthews has been pretty garbagey as the year has begun. Do you think that bringing Dirk back into the line, Dirk is ageless. The guy's still playing well, even when he's getting on 76 right now.
I can't believe he's that old.
Yeah, I know. It's amazing. Do you think that this team is going to actually be
176.
Oh, yeah. 100. You missed the 100.
That's it, man. Do you think that they're going to be able to pick up the momentum and actually push for a playoff spot when they get a healthy Dirk back?
I've said for a little bit that this team will figure it out to some extent. You know, I still think they're going to get up to a 40-win pace or so. And I think that's definitely good enough to push for a playoff spot.
For sure.
I think it's definitely going to have them fall short by a few games, but you know, I think they'll be better than, you know, 2-6 that they are. That's not the pace they're going to keep all year, in my opinion, even though, if, you know, maybe it should be to go for one of those point guards in the draft. But yeah, when Dirk gets back, you know, you definitely need him back. You definitely, you know, need just have to figure things out whenever he is healthy and ready to go. You know, certainly it's helped that Barnes has been able to play the four, and I think you need to get him a lot of minutes there. And I wonder if the answer isn't playing Dirk, you know, like really 24 minutes a game, you know, like really limiting his minutes. And, you know, there's times where you'll play him still 30, 35 if he's really going against the right matchups. But, you know, I wonder if that isn't an answer. You know, you can play center a little bit too next to Barnes. But yeah, you know, his offense is still, you know, so good. His defense is still, you know, totally bad. I mean, it's tough to watch with the way he's moving around these days. But yeah, he's still a positive for this team, and it's just a matter of, you know, kind of fitting him in there and not ruining what Barnes has going right now. And I think that's definitely doable, and whatever it takes to do that, Dirk's fine with that. So he's always been an ultimate teammate. So I don't anticipate too many problems about him getting back. It's definitely going to be a small problem or a small challenge, but a good challenge to have.
Tim, a couple days ago, you wrote about the immediate future for the Mavs and who they're playing this month coming up. Clippers, the Cavs, and the Spurs twice. Now, you were saying that if they come out of here okay, the rest of the season could be bad, and not to panic until if they start losing to the Pelicans or the Magic. Now, what's the best case coming out of November for these Mavs?
I'm a little bit bullish on how good they can be, because they have some really tough teams, you know, like you're saying, whether it's the Clippers, the Cavaliers, and twice against the Spurs. And, you know, it'd be tough. You'd like to see them get one of those Spurs games, and then the other ones are really tough to see them get, especially with the way the Clippers have started the season and the Cavaliers are good as always. So yeah, if the Mavericks can be, you know, I think 5-12, I think is the right combination of games, or 6-11. I think that's probably the best case scenario. You know, and it's a tough month, and there's some weird road games, and all the games are spaced out, which is nice. There's not a lot of back-to-backs or quick road trips, but you know, it's a lot of games on the road, a lot of quality competition, and then you get to December, and you know, the first 2 weeks or so are quite a bit easier, and that's when you can kind of hopefully get on a run if the team is two or three or four games under 500, and that's when you've got to hope that, you know, they're able to push back in there and be the team that everybody thinks. But because of the way the schedule is set up in November, I'm not ruling them out of anything, even if they're, you know, five or six games under 500 by the end of the month.
Speaking with Tim Cato of SB Nation's Mavs Moneyball, going back to talk about Dirk Nowitzki here a little bit. He is out with a little Achilles problem. One, I want to ask, is it possible that this could be the last year we see Dirk in an NBA uniform? And also, can you give us a picture of how he's treated down there in Dallas? You know, obviously, he's won an MVP, a championship, a finals MVP. He's given it all for that city. Can you just give us, you know, how is he treated for people up here in Canada who we know, obviously, he's a legend and everything like that, but can you give us a little more detail and insight on how he's treated down there and what it's been like to see him play for, 15-plus years?
Yeah, man, Dirk is the Mavericks. Like, there's another way to put it. He's been with the team. The Mavericks have played more seasons with Dirk on their roster than they haven't. I believe they came around in 79, and so I think it's something like 18 seasons without Dirk, and then now 19 seasons with him. So it's some really incredible stuff. When he came around, the team was floundering in the mid 90s. But he arrived on the scene, had a okay rookie year, was really good as a sophomore, and never looked back. It's really you can't even speak for how great he's been, how much he means to Dallas. I think you definitely have a case that he's the best athlete in DFW history and in Dallas history. So I think he's like, when his last season does arrive, he's going to be given so many accolades and tributes that it'll all be deserved. Whether this year is his last season is a good question. If he is, if he does have nagging injuries that keep popping up throughout the year, it's possible. He's talked a lot about wanting to play to 20 seasons. So that would be this year and one more. That would put him at 39 next year and just before turning 40. As long as he's healthy, as long as he's feeling good, he certainly could do it. His jump shot's not going anywhere. He still has the smarts and the savvy and all of that. So it's just a matter of really whether he can stay healthy, whether he can have fun doing it, and whether the Mavericks do provide a decent team for him to come back to next year. I think that's also a big thing. He's talked about how he doesn't want to be on a team that's tanking, which is why I'm pretty convinced the Mavericks won't do that, even though it might be in their best interest to try to go grab one of those point guards in the draft. But if they can put, they don't need to put a title contender together because that's probably not going to happen. But if they can put a decent team of veteran players together for the next season, as long as it's somebody that Dirk thinks can compete and, kind of push for a playoff spot, even if they fall short this year, as long as they can push for one next year again, and as long as he's feeling good and still having fun, I do think he'll be back one more season. So kind of round it out with an even 20 years played. And certainly that's what I'm hoping for, because it's going to be a sad day when he finally does hang it up.
Yeah, definitely a legend in Dallas and in the NBA in general. We're Canadian, and obviously having Steve Nash as a part of that run, we got to see some pretty special moments with Dirk along the way, and obviously his championship season. He's been a legend in the community and in the league in general. Maybe the best European player of all time. If he indeed does hang up the shoes this year or even next season, how do you see the Mavericks turning the ship around? I mean, obviously Barnes is a real piece to build around if he continues what he's doing, but they're losing a lot of contracts right now. I mean, Bogut and Deron Williams come off the books at the end of the season. Obviously those aren't guys you're going to want to build for in the future, but they've got a lot of older bodies on their bench. Wes Matthews is locked up for another 2 years. What do you see that this team has right now that they can build upon when Dirk finally does leave?
Yeah, Barnes is definitely showing some things that's good, great to see. He's definitely the guy that you're going to slot into power forward next season. Even if Dirk still is around, there's a good chance Barnes is starting forward and Dirk comes off the bench or something like that. In the draft, you have to draft a point guard. It's a very deep point guard rich class. Certainly up top, but yeah, at point guard. But even in the low lottery in like 11, 12, 13, 14, there's players like Lonzo Ball and De'Aaron Fox. So you pick up
loaded,
a point guard in the draft.
Point guard class for sure.
Yes, it honestly it's as loaded as I've ever seen it for point guards in this year's draft. So there's definitely room to pick up somebody there. And point guard is a position that isn't really there aren't really any on the market next season in free agency. So that's why you do it in the draft. And you pick up your dude there, and then you hopefully build for him, for the next few years. There's a good chance they're going to have an amnesty clause. So I would imagine that if Wes Matthews isn't traded somewhere with a couple years on his contract, then there's a decent chance they amnesty him. Some of that depends on how he plays the rest of the year, but if he's still struggling, especially, I wouldn't be surprised to see him cut him loose. And then, you know, if that happens, they have a lot of cap space. And I know it sounds like Mark Cuban now or something. It's just like, oh, we'll go get a max free agent. We'll go after these guys. But, you know, there might be a chance to pursue a younger player who teams can't necessarily afford. And that would be a Nerlens Noel, someone like that. I can't remember. I think Zach LaVine is 2 years out, but that's the type of player that, you know, Minnesota might not be able to afford because they have so many other big contracts coming up. You know, so good players, not transcendent necessarily, not superstars, not Carmelo or someone like that, like they've pursued in the past, or DeAndre, but, you know, a good quality player you can really build around and make a good team around. So I think that's their path to the future. Certainly we'll know a little bit more probably mid-January, just seeing where the team's record is and see what type of pick they're going to have and all that. But, you know, I think this team's a smart team. There's definitely a path to the future. There's a way to figure things out. And apparently getting Barnes and seeing him play like that, that's a great sign for the future as well.
Now, worst case scenario, Tim, say this Mavs team's, you know, continues to trend downwards or doesn't maybe to pick things up. Does that make Cuban become more of a distraction? Like, have we seen now in the beginning of the year? Like, will he be more loud in the media and more annoying?
Yeah, that's a good question, because the funny thing is, since he's been on the team, you know, they've missed the playoffs once or twice, I guess, his first season, I think, as well. So we don't know, I guess, is the answer. Like, we haven't seen Mark on a truly bad team for a few years. So certainly he likes his team being in the headlines and being in, you know, on SportsCenter and in the national news. So I wonder if he will, you know, talk a little bit and make sure that, you know, at least his name stays in there and by affiliation, the Mavericks or something like that. But I think the answer is we don't really know exactly how Cuban will react to that, just because he's been, you know, the team has won so many times when he's been the owner.
I say he runs for president 2020, right? That's the only thing he can do.
You're joking, but we will see. There's a better than 0% chance it happens.
And Tim, one more question before we let you go. Obviously, up here in Canada, we keep a close eye on all of our Canadian players down south. Dwight Powell is a Canadian guy. He's been, you know, he surprised kind of people, came out of nowhere a bit, wasn't really highly recruited coming into the NBA, but he's been playing well and getting some good minutes with the Mavs. Can you just speak about his development and what you see for him moving forward in the Mavericks organization?
Yeah, I'll start with Powell. I'll start with the same thing everybody I talk to starts with. He is the hardest worker, you know, outside of Dirk, maybe on this team. You know, he really busts his butt, you know, after practice, before practice, coming in for night sessions and just working out so often. So that's definitely a good sign. You know, he's still a little bit, you know, kind of floating between positions. He's been shooting better this year, which allows him to play at the four a little bit more than the five, where he's still a little bit undersized, but, you know, I definitely like him. I think he can still turn into a nice little rotation player. You know, he needs to be a little bit more consistent than he has been so far, but that can definitely still happen. So yeah, you know, and definitely with the way he works, with the way everybody talks about how hard he works, there's reason to be optimistic that he's going to keep developing and keep getting better. So, you know, that's a nice player. The players like that are great to have on your roster, and you really can't complain. So I'm hopeful that he will continue to get even better.
And that's great for us to hear, especially a guy that's going to be playing on our national team moving forward in the coming years, to hear that he's a hardworking guy and, you know, busts his butt and wants to stay in this league and obviously knows what it takes to do that. Tim Cato of SB Nation's Mavs Moneyball, thanks so much for joining us on 3 in the Key.
Appreciate it, guys.
Welcome back to 3 in the Key.
Welcome back inside the Key, Elias L. Zane, alongside Will Macklin and Dave Tripp, yeah. Tim Cato of SB Nation's Mavs Moneyball joining us.
Well
good
done.
Good stuff.
Yeah, of course. You know, talking a little Dallas Mavs, a little Dwight Powell, Dirk Nowitzki, Harrison Barnes, who's surprising some people.
Yeah, I'm excited. And then Mark Cuban may be running for. I already had the idea for his like.
So it's
going
to be him against Kanye or Trump again?
Yeah, no, I don't know. Yeah, Cuban has to go DNC too, right? Like, I can't not see. It should be hindsight, Mark Cuban, 2020.
I don't know. I think Cuban's a Republican for sure.
Same here.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll see. Well, I mean, he's in Texas, eh?
It'll be Kanye versus Cuban.
That'd be
is
fun.
That really American politics? American politics is gonna come
I
up to
so.
Like a hip hop artist and
man,
an
this
owner,
is a, scary
a business
precedent.
Owner.
Last like private citizen like this was Andrew Jackson back in the day, and
right.
he ruffled some feathers. I can go all day. I love American history.
We'll stick to basketball.
Yeah,
I think so.
Will's got a few questions for us.
Yeah, let's go. Who's worse, Pelicans or the Sixers?
Oof, oof.
The Pelicans. I'm going to have to go with the Pelicans. I'm sorry. They're 1-9. The Sixers are 1-8. So that record clearly speaks to who's worse.
I don't know what to tell
you. You know what
I
mean?
The record says
like,
it all.
No, but the Sixers definitely have a better and brighter future. Embiid, Simmons,
but would you,
Saric.
I guess yeah. so. But those guys aren't playing. Like, Simmons ain't playing. But like,
he's the only one that's not playing. But the Sixers have been in closer games than the Pelicans have this year. And the Pelicans outside of Anthony Davis, it's like they give the ball to Anthony Davis and it's like, do your thing, bro, and we'll just watch you.
No, I don't understand when other people shoot on the team. It really is angry to watch. Why are you shooting, buddy? Like, brutal.
Here's
like, give
thing.
The ball to him. It's Davis is on the court.
Yeah. Here's my thing with the Pelicans, though. Even healthy, they're fundamentally flawed. They've got some issues. Even with Drew Holiday back, Tyreke Evans, you got too many guys that handle the ball. Get the ball to friggin' AD and let him do his thing. The guy's one of these superstars in the league. He's got to be your go-to. It's just like what we were saying about Porzingis.
Yes.
You've got to give him the ball. You've got to build around him. And right now, their team is really, really substandard.
So that was a bit of a layup, but we'll go... Next one, going into it, because I know you were texting me last night, Elias, but who has the worst jerseys in the league? And I know you probably feel the same about that same team, Pelicans.
Pelicans are up there, ugly jerseys. Ugly
like
name as well. I'm sorry, New Orleans. Nothing
State
against
bird,
you.
Bro.
I'd love to go visit New Orleans. I heard it's an amazing city.
Right.
But their jerseys and their team right now,
what would
no
you call
good.
Them instead?
I don't know. I don't think there was nothing wrong with the Hornets, but
two Hornets teams would be weird. But yeah,
no. Well, Charlotte wouldn't be the Hornets. If
the Hornets too.
If New Orleans
the Hornets
was still
as
the Hornets.
Well.
The Hornets with a Z, maybe.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Let's switch
or
it up.
Or Z's. Dave, for American listeners.
Dave brought up a good one with the Grizzlies.
Clippers, yeah, and
oh,
you know,
the
I don't
Clippers.
Like the Clippers. I think they're garbage.
I don't like the Clippers either. They're awful.
Yeah.
I also don't like the OKC Thunder.
I don't like the
don't
Grizzlies because Dave brought up a good point. The Grizzlies jersey compared to what they were when they were in Vancouver.
The so teal. Good. Everyone loved teal in the 90s. Like you
they
had
were
the
so nice in Vancouver.
San Jose Sharks.
Yeah.
Garbage right now. Hornets. And for good measure, the Cleveland Cavaliers have horrible jerseys.
What?
As well.
Really? You
no,
don't like the Cavs jerseys?
I
don't think so. All right, then flip it. Who has the nicest jerseys in the league?
The Lakers, of course.
I like the Magic. Oh, I've always liked the Magic.
Magic,
that blue,
yeah.
I think it pops.
Pinstripes.
I like the white one, too. It's great.
Jersey. That's right.
The honestly, Toronto Huskies?
I was just going to say, I love the Huskies blue and white, man. It's super nice. I'm into them.
Seattle Supersonics.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, Supersonics, if we're going old
which
school.
Which Supersonics? Like, I don't
Seattle.
Know. There's, I know which Supersonics. Which jerseys?
Like,
yeah,
man. The yellow and the green.
Yeah.
It was amazing. I like the Knicks jerseys. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, me too. It's classic. And the Bulls. Honestly, if I could like the Bulls, I'd wear a Bulls jersey every day. I
like the
behind.
Chicago cursive on the black.
Oof. And I like the Hornets alternate jersey.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. What is that, the purple?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Purplish.
I like that
blue-ish.
One, too. Bluish. That's nice. When they go classic, when they go throwback jersey, it's really nice.
You know what? I like the Jazz jersey, too. I've always been like kind of, I've always kind of liked the Jazz colors.
Do you remember
and jersey?
The black Jazz jersey? I like that one a lot. It's so obnoxious.
Old school,
but I loved it.
Karl Malone and
yeah,
John Stockton.
I like their current jerseys, though. I think that they've done a good job
that's
of keeping
bad.
A classic look.
Hashtag take note. You know what I'm saying? All right, next one.
One last one, bad jerseys. Wizards.
I love the Wizards.
No, I like the Wizards jersey.
Yeah,
I like
the
color. I think
I love the Bullets. Like homage.
I like the Bullets throwback. Yeah, but I don't like their jerseys right now. I don't know.
Oh,
maybe
really?
Just,
I'm into it. I didn't like their opening jerseys. I didn't like them at all.
I think the Bucks did a good redesign.
Agreed.
Oh,
but I
love.
Also like some of the classic Bucks jerseys. I love the purple one back in the day.
The creamy
Allen.
Green though. Ooh. Super nice.
Yeah, that was nice.
Hey, all right. Next question. If Russell Westbrook does not make the playoffs with the Thunder, but averages a triple-double, does he still get MVP?
No.
If they don't make the playoffs, no.
Yeah.
You can't
which
give
is,
an MVP
what about eighth spot?
Which is eighth spot? Give him the MVP. He got a triple-double, second player in history. End of story.
Yeah, okay.
Good night.
That's all it takes? Because I still think you give it, like,
I think he has to finish higher than eighth.
I don't think that's going
to
be an issue.
Depending where the Rockets finish, because it looks like Harden's averaging a triple-double
as
well.
Exactly. And Chris Paul, maybe he's playing well. Maybe the Clippers look like they might have the best record in basketball in the West anyway.
I have to be honest. I think they're a 3-4-5 team. I think Westbrook's the MVP, unless James Harden continues to do his 15 assists a game like we've seen.
Yeah, no, it's true.
And then the Rockets have to make the playoffs, so...
No, it's all right.
it's going to be an interesting
year. I don't think they can, and I don't think they will give the MVP award to a player who does not make the postseason, or his team does not make the postseason.
Right, okay. But even those
stats?
Really not
see
stats,
the Thunder making, not making it?
No,
though?
I think the Thunder make it.
No, I know,
it.
But just
will.
The way the question was framed. I know you, I've, God forbid, I make say anything critical of the Thunder. But
how dare you?
But I know, I just think it's just interesting that could happen, you know, just his stat line compared to the wins-losses ratio. But right now, it looks like my Thunder not making the playoffs pick. It looks like a dupe. It does not look good right now. So they've been playing well of late by himself, I guess, the OKC Westbrooks. Second to last question here. We're going to go flip it to the Pelicans-Sixers question. Who's the worst team, Hawks or Raptors?
That's a good question.
Thanks, man. It means a lot. I really study up to these ones and really buckle down, really study. So it's really big of you to really come up and say that to me.
The Raptors are better than the Hawks.
What?
Agreed.
Definitely. I think the Hawks have done nothing right now. I mean, Dwight's resurgence is amazing. He loves the ATL.
Very, also very good for my fantasy.
Agreed,
thank you,
too.
Dwight.
All yes. The Dwight stuff, right. That's right. But yeah, yes. No, I'm super, yeah, I like the Hawks. They're fun to watch right now. And I mean, just a couple of years ago, they had that huge streak and they were amazing. They're all, you know, four starters, made the All-Star team. Like,
yep.
They're nice. So I'm into it. And, but the Raptors are still, to me, until proven otherwise, second best team in the East.
Well, remember the Hawks. I wonder when it's going to catch up to them losing Al Horford. Right now, it doesn't seem like.
Yeah, doesn't seem to matter.
It seems like, you know, taking Al Horford and putting in Howard and taking
it's affecting
out
Teague the Celtics.
And giving the ball to Dennis Schroeder full time has been, you know, it doesn't look like there's been a big change there. But I think they'll slow down before the Raptors slow down. And I also think the Raptors have a better all around squad.
You know what, though? We've talked about good teams making adjustments. And I think that the Hawks. Considering, you know, you're losing Al Horford, a guy that he's really been a major cog in your team, playing in the front court with Paul Millsap, and now you're bringing in a guy like Dwight Howard, who a lot of people have said, ooh, this is a guy that hurts your locker room and really messes with things. It shows you how good of a coach Mike Budenholzer is. Like, this guy has brought this team together, inspired the team, and they've been really good, but I still give it to the Raptors.
Yeah.
I love this core, and I think they're really making a statement right now that they're one of the better teams in the league.
I really like Schroeder's hair, though.
Oh, he's... Yeah, his hair.
I'll get shit.
His lounge or restaurant got hit with 21, like, health violations, by the way.
What? Really?
Wow, don't eat
Poor
there,
guy.
But, you know.
That was my next question.
He should have been wearing a hairnet, I suppose.
That's true. Last question. Greg Oden this week came out and said, hey, man, I'm the worst player to be drafted in the NBA. Is he? Swish or miss?
Biggest bust ever?
Yeah.
Nope.
No, I don't think so.
Hey, man, you guys are really nice to him. That's really good. I think, yeah, he got plagued with injuries.
Yeah,
and,
you can't put a guy as the biggest bust if he didn't play because of injuries. Like, when he played, he showed flashes of, wow, this is why they took him first overall.
Kind
you
of
know
what
I mean?
With Embiid.
But he was hurt. But look, Embiid has come back and he's been playing well and he's staying healthy so far. And let's hope it stays that way after 9 games so far for him in the Sixers. But he sat out a few, obviously, on those back-to-backs. But Greg Oden, you can't really label him as the bust. He also said something interesting, that as long as Kevin Durant's going to do great things, it's going to be even worse for him.
Yeah, which is true. But like, he got drafted after. I mean,
first overall.
I mean Durant. Sorry, he got drafted after, so he's always going to everyone who's drafted after, he's going to be compared. It doesn't matter. Look what Draymond Green had. You know, he remembers everybody who drafted in front of him, right? So it's one of those things.
And he got drafted in the second round.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
but I would put like Andrea Bargnani, who was drafted first overall by the Raptors, who, yeah, he wasn't hurt or whatever, but didn't really bring anything to Toronto or his time in the NBA when he went to the Knicks and then to the Nets. Now he's playing in Spain. So
yeah, there have been a number of players. That's a bust. You can't nail the guy for getting injured, because if he had stayed healthy, Oden would be a guy we'd be talking about right now, and he'd have an impressive career. And there wasn't much debate at the time. KD had one of the best seasons in college history for Texas, and there wasn't much debate that Oden was the number one pick with a bullet at the time. I look at a guy like Darko Milicic. He didn't go first overall. He went second overall because first overall was there was no question. It's LeBron James.
Yeah.
But you look at the players that were passed up on him, and he did nothing. You know what I mean?
He has a championship with the Pistons.
Well, yeah. They won the championship right after they drafted him, so yeah. Best of luck with your, with your hot take,
that
bro.
That was clearly the piece that put them over the top. I think that having Carmelo Anthony or, you know, Chris Bosh, Dwayne Wade, any one of those guys would have made, you know.
Yeah.
They would still be on the Pistons.
Well, who do you think is?
There's a number of guys. I think I feel bad for him, but he shouldn't have probably been drafted this high. But, I mean, look at Anthony Bennett.
Yes. Another one.
He was
a stinger.
Yeah, he was drafted really high, but he wasn't even a top 10 pick. I don't know why they even went after him.
That was a particularly bad draft class, dude.
I know. Adam Morrison, I think you could put in there. I mean, he won two championships with your Lakers there, Elias, but he's with Gonzaga.
Yeah, he led the team in high fives. Don't ever forget
that.
Yeah,
it's one of the better high fivers.
He led the league in body odor, and I understand, too.
And, and porn star mustaches. So, I mean, these are all good things. And another one is Kwame Brown.
Kwame Brown, that's a big one too.
One of the
Michael
best
Olamakandi, Sean Bradley, Sam Bowie, drafted by.
That one's not fair.
Sam Bowie was
hurt.
He was hurt
as
in Kentucky,
Portland,
and then
Portland twice missed on.
They passed up on Jordan and they passed up on Durant. I mean, their history could be really different.
Yeah. Hey, man, they didn't pass on Bill Walton, so.
Well, but Bill Walton's career got cut short, too, right?
But if he won them a championship.
He won the championship, and that means everything.
And he won championships with the Celtics, too, on the bench.
So. Best flow in NBA history. At least white guy flow.
Shut it down, big man. Love it. Yeah, that's it for me, guys.
All right. Thanks to Will for the questions. Thanks to our guest, Tim Cato of SB Nation's Mavs Moneyball, for joining us. And remember, you can get a hold of us anytime by email at the3inthekey@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook at 3inthekey. Follow on Twitter at BasketPod. On Instagram at the3inthekey. And you can listen to each and every episode on iTunes, SoundCloud, TuneIn, Stitcher Radio, and of course on the Almighty Baller Podcast Network. Make sure to rate and review us on iTunes as well. And our website, 3inthekey.ca. For Will Macklin and Dave Tripp, I'm Elias Alzain. Peace.
I'm sick to my stomach thinking about it. I can't imagine being a Muslim right now, or a woman, or an African-American, a Hispanic, a handicapped person, how disenfranchised they might feel. And for anyone in those groups that voted for them, it's just beyond my comprehension how they ignore all that. And so my final conclusion is my big fear is we are Rome.